Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio on a beautiful sunny day in Cleveland, which you have not had a lot of lately. How are you?
Good, good. Looks like we got a Trump-heavy show coming up. A lot of stuff going on with him this week, so we'll jump right into it. His trial. You know, Michael Cohen testified, and it's about what I thought. You know, they got the fact that he was a felon and all that other stuff out of the way, and that he was slighted by Trump, and that he had said on his show, on his podcast or whatever, that, you know, he wanted to see Trump go to jail and everything else, right? Like, so they had to get all the ugly stuff out, and then they start to get into the brass tacks of the various transactions. You know, and you got a very detailed view of how they manipulated documents and manipulated money. But what I will say is I don't believe that the prosecution has proven what they need to prove to get a guilty verdict for what they charged him with, right? Like, this is a campaign finance charge and an accounting fraudulent accounting charge. I don't believe that they met the requirement to get the jury.
The burden of proof.
Yeah. I don't see it. What they did do though was they did a very good job of, you know, showing that Donald Trump is very capable of committing fraudulent acts, and that, you know, he had this relationship with Stormy Daniels and he wanted it to be taken care of with a buy-off. And so you also get to see how, you know, Cohn and Weisselman and, you know, the others involved moved the money around and got, you know, Cohn paid for his efforts. So you can see all the shadiness, which the jury may take that and say, that's enough for me, guilty, right? And I think that's what the prosecution is banking on, because I just don't see where they've met that burden of proof for the charges that have been levied against Trump. If you're just going off of the evidence, I don't think that you get a guilty verdict. But once you bring in the human part of it, you could see a guilty verdict, but I think the most likely thing is a not guilty, either through a unanimous decision or you end up getting a hung jury, and then the prosecution has to decide if they're going to bring the case again, right? Which at this point, I think the answer is probably not. Wouldn't be worth it.
So I'm not saying this as an accusation or a criticism, but you've been all over on this. You were like, this is a waste of time. It's nonsense. It's never going to get...
Hold on.
And then you were like, holy shit, this could go a different direction. And now you're like... And I respect your legal opinion so much that I'm 100% on board. I think he got... The prosecution had a tough case, and from what I've watched, they've not done enough to make 12 Americans say guilty.
Well, what I'll say is, look, it's hard to, like, any lawyer that tells you that they can tell you the outcome of a case if they haven't seen the evidence is full of shit, right? So I had how I felt, right? And then I felt like initially with the case, like I said, I didn't think it was a good case. I wouldn't have brought it. We get, you know, some of the early testimony. There's nothing here telling me that this was a case that should have been brought. Stormy Daniels was a little bit different because what she did was she kind of completely destroyed the idea, the concept that the relationship didn't happen, right? And that's important because Trump tried to put it out there that it didn't happen, right? So if they don't address that the right way, then a lot of their case falls apart, because even if you can prove then that money was moved that was labeled as legal, that should have been a campaign finance charge, even if you can prove that, if you can't prove that the relationship actually existed, then you could have a problem. But through her testimony, she erases any real doubt. I don't think there's anyone who thinks that there's a chance in hell that Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump didn't sleep together and that he did not want to get it resolved financially by paying her off, right? And so that shifted me, knowing that Michael Cohen was really the key witness to all of this to kind of bring it all together, right? So then he testifies, and he brings most of it together, but I still just don't think that they're able to make that connection that he did it to basically impact the election, right? Or to help his campaign by not having this bad information come out, right? That's ultimately at the heart of what the charge is, and then misrepresenting what the money was for, right? By labeling it as retainer fees.
Right. Well, so isn't the core of the case that money was being taken from the campaign to cover quote-unquote legal expenses, and those legal expenses were, we need to cover up the whole Stormy Daniels situation?
Yes.
So
it's hard to prove. Because you have to prove what the money ultimately was for, right? And then you have to prove the intent, right? And so was the intent of covering this up to impact the campaign, because if that gets out, then it could impact him negatively, or was the intent to cover it up so his wife doesn't find out, divorce him, and take his kid?
And that's a whole different discussion, because
it's not. It's a big part of the discussion.
But
they had it, right? It was a big part of the discussion, and the defense tried to have it, right? Because the defense was kind of all over the place, and they're sort of, right, their whole throw the spaghetti up against the wall, because they're just like, wasn't Donald concerned about how this story coming out would impact Melania, right?
And wasn't there a whole bunch of feedback that said he didn't give a fuck?
Yes.
Okay.
But there was, there were certain things that Cohen had to acknowledge, right, which give you enough to say, maybe the guy just didn't want his wife to find out, so he paid him off.
Right? I heard an interview where someone said that the Trump said, like, how long do you think I'll be on the market? Meaning, I'm such a hot commodity that who cares about Melania? And he is on his third wife. I've had zero, you've had one. He's on three. And I don't know if that plays in or not.
I don't understand what.
I'm just saying, like, the whole defense that, he didn't,
He didn't want his wife to find out, but then you're saying, like, well, I'm going to give a fuck.
I'll find another wife in 10 minutes, so.
Yeah, I agree, but, I mean, like I said, it's not, now, look, I wouldn't have brought the case. I stand by that. I think that they could maybe get a guilty verdict out of this, because you could have pulled on the human factor strings enough to get everybody to just say, screw it, let's just take him down. But I think you're either going to get some people that want to convict him, other people that don't, and it's going to be split and it's going to be hung. Or they're going to be like, nah, this ain't it. We may not like him, but we're not going to be the ones responsible for putting the first former president of the United States in jail off of whatever this is, from an evidence standpoint.
And I think you're 100% right.
I think it's more likely that he ends up being not guilty, and it probably works out, it's unfortunate, because Trump wins either way. If he's guilty, then he's a martyr, right? And then you've got if he wins, then he beat the,
the trumped up chart.
Yes. Right. He beat, not that he beat the charges, but it's about, remember, it's a culture war. So he's going to say he beat the progressive left, corrupt Democrats who tried to use the Department of Justice as a weapon against him. All right, Donald, but this is in New York, and I'm not going to do with the Department of Justice.
Not the DOJ, but
that's what I'm saying, right? Like that's some ridiculous shit that he would absolutely say, and his people would eat it up, right?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's not ridiculous shit he would say. It's ridiculous shit he has said.
Right.
I mean, this is the Biden dude.
Exactly.
Biden has nothing to do with it.
You know, I mean, like, and that's the frustrating part about it, and that's why it was a bad case to bring. You know, I mean, we have to get away from, you know, because there's people out there that are just like, you have to bring charges against Donald Trump. He broke the law. No one's above the law. Yeah, I'm sorry. Actually, yeah, there are certain people that are more above the law than the average person. And that includes former presidents of the United States, whether you voted for them and like them or not. We can't just start charging presidents and throwing them in jail and then standing on, you know, Lady Justice as we have to do this. We have been allowing people with money and power to you know, basically walk all over our criminal justice system.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I get what you're saying, but now ain't the time to decide that now you want to start holding people accountable no matter what, right? Because our nation is literally in the balance, right? And jailing a former president on garbage charges, right, is the sort of thing that could absolutely break the republic. And I'm sorry, these charges are garbage.
I agree. I mean, I know that we're on the same page when it comes to January 6th and the Georgia case, where that's legitimately
both
a threat to our democracy and the, you know, the state of Georgia and the Department of Justice need to stand up and say, okay, this is not acceptable. And I mean, do you remember how much I lost my fucking mind on January 6th?
Nope, because I had lost mine a whole lot more.
Okay.
You know, I mean, just to be honest, didn't give a fuck what you thought about it. Like, it was just like people needed to pay for what happened.
I don't want to Mandela effect this, but I think you and I had a conversation where I was just off the fucking rails with
like, I mean, it was okay. I literally, like, you know, I wasn't
I lost it on my cousin who called me that day.
Look, it's not a dick measuring contest. The point is that January 6th was, we both had the same sort of deal about it. So those are legitimate charges, right? What's happening in New York right now, this is bullshit. I'm sorry. Even if you find him guilty, frankly, right? Like, you're talking about a president of the United States, and if you got to make the Al Capone comparison, I'm sorry. You're not fucking up my republic so you can get somebody on fucking tax evasion. I'm sad. That's ridiculous, right?
You know, it's funny you say that because his comparisons to himself and Al Capone are weird for a bunch of reasons. They called him Scarface. He was indicted once. I've been indicted for. I'm like, okay, you're comparing yourself to Alphonse Capone. I don't know if you know this, but I have a great-grandfather who got a job because of Al Capone.
Did he work for Al Capone?
He got a job as a garbage man in the city of Chicago when, if you were an Italian in Chicago, having Al Capone as a reference mattered. And my grandfather would say that, you know, he spoke ill of Alphonse Capone, and his dad would smack him and go, "That man put foot in your table." So I do have a three-layer reference or you know, connection to Al Capone. And then Trump also talked about fucking Hannibal Lecter. He was like, the late, great Hannibal Lecter. Did you hear any of this?
I did. You know, I mean, look, I've been kind of steadfast. Between both Trump and Biden, and the conversation about their mental whatever, they're both old.
Okay, let's talk about that.
No, because it's a zero-sum game. either way, you're getting an old weirdo, right? Like, they're both saying dumb, stupid shit. Neither one, like both of them are incoherent. Like, that, like, they cancel each other out. I get that Trump is saying really crazy, psychotic shit. I'm also the one saying, like, we really don't want him in the White House. And the Democrats better get on their shit, because we may end up with it unless he dies first. Which,
okay, so let's move to the upcoming debates. So Trump and Biden are going to debate.
Unless he dies first. Okay, cool. Let's move to the debates.
Well,
is there a chance he might die at the debates? What are you saying?
I was not saying that. Oh. I was saying that they've agreed to have two debates, one in June, one in September, which is really fucking weird because neither of them has been actually nominated by their party. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, this is so weird. And, you know, I think that any debate between Trump and Biden is a win for Biden because he's been painted as a, you know, bumbling fool.
Okay, let me just stop you. You do realize you're talking about Joe Biden in 2024.
I am aware of,
like, it's not an automatic win for Joe Biden. For it to be an automatic win, Joe Biden has to be all there and fully competent the whole time.
Okay, agreed. Okay,
agreed. So now, if he can do that, then yes, I agree. It's a win for him no matter what. But the problem is, I don't know if Joe can do that twice. Right? He can probably pull it off at least once. Right? But, I mean, because you're also talking about the king of gaffes before he was old.
Sure. Oh, no doubt.
You know, like, this dude was the instruction manual for how to step on your own dick with words, right? So now he's 80 plus years old. And now you want to put him on a stage with bright lights, a lot of people around. Actually, I think they're getting rid of the audience. I think that was a request.
That's correct.
And I'm fine with that. Honestly, the audience didn't bring anything, and it's just turned into fucking WWE, honestly, right? The candidates are yelling over each other, right? People in the crowd are hooting and hollering. And it's like, come on, get rid of it. Have some decorum. Okay, if you can't, then you got to go. So I'm fine with that.
I'm 100% in favor of not having an audience because, like you said, what do they bring to the table?
Right.
You know, you've got...
someone from the audience is going to ask a question, except for it's already filtered through the question, right. And they know what the question is going to be, and it could be one of these three questions. It's just, I'm fine, get rid of the audience, but I just want to put the caveat out there that it's definitely not a slam dunk for Biden if he doesn't have all his faculties for both of them, you know, because if he slips up, Even if it's minor, you're not going to be able to just sweep it under the rug.
The counterpoint I would give is that he has been...
You can't Fox News and right-wing media, you cannot give them a drop of blood. Can't. If you do, it doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter if it was not that big of a deal. It'll be all over every social media platform, and it will be every talking point, and that's it. That's what they want, right?
It is, but they've been labeling Biden as incapable of putting two sentences together, and just by showing up and proving that wrong, and I do think there will be an audience for this, right? I mean...
What do you mean?
I think
you mean just talked about the live audience, people are going to be interested. I'll probably pay attention to it to a degree,
and I will be watching it, you know, in real life and in real time. And I have multiple Trump loving friends who have said that they can't wait to see this because they can't wait to see Joe Biden, to use a Steve expression, step on his own dick And when he doesn't, they're going to have to go, that's not what we were expecting.
Yeah, I just, you have a lot more faith in Joe Biden to not do that than I do. which is weird, because we've both seen him for the same amount of time. So we have. I don't know how you come to a different conclusion.
I think he will, he's a polished politician.
He is.
He's also an 80-year-old man who's a gaffe machine. You're right.
Okay, but like, yeah, he's also a polished politician when he fucks up, which he's been fucking up for the last, I don't know, 50 fucking years. So all I'm saying is we've got a track record of him, you know, just word vomit, you know, and then you're like, what the fuck, Joe? Like, he's getting older, so they're happening more frequently. It's getting harder to control. It's one thing for him to do it when he's given the state of the union, because there's nobody talking back at him, right?
Well, I mean, other than the idiots from the
but it's he's reading off the teleprompter. It's all right there.
Sure.
And that's it, right? It's set for him, and then once he's done reading with the teleprompter, they sweep him away. He shakes some hands. It's fine.
And look.
This, though, is you're on a stage, you have the questions, you have what you're going to say, but Donald Trump is going to be out there hurling stuff, blah, 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 which he's handled before. But what I'm saying is he's just that much older since the last time he did a debate.
I mean, those are things I can't argue with.
Remember, this is the same guy that gave us the stories about the black kids at the swimming pool and... if you wanted to start a basketball team and, you know, corn pop.
What?
The black kid corn pop with the hair. Like, it's corn pop.
Corn.
Yes. Tim, the kid's nickname was a black kid and they called him corn pop because of his hair. Because his hair was real nappy.
Okay. I don't remember this, but that's not.
It's fine. It's fine that you don't remember it, but like again, there's not a better telling of the story, right? It's like that's the type of shit that he's got out there, and so now we're gonna put him on a stage with Trump. And look, the one thing you could say about Trump, Trump is going to treat it like a stand-up show,
a WWE
event, right? And he like Trump. First of all, Trump has always rambled like an idiot. Right? It's a different sort of gaffe. Like, Trump just says shit, right? To say, because Trump feels like he's got to fill the air with his voice, with bullshit, right? Like, his whole mountain, his whole empire is literally built on bullshit, and him being the head bullshitter, right? Like, so his rambling is different than Biden's. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Biden's more incoherent, whereas Trump is just saying words.
Right. Just stream of consciousness or whatever. Right. Like, and I mean, and we come to expect that from Trump. So if he's going to do what he does, it's not going to hurt him. Right. His people are going to hoot and holler no matter what he does. Right. The issue for Biden, though, is that to at least give his side something that they can push back on. He's basically got to be flawless through this whole thing. So all the pressure is on him to step up and perform. I'm not saying he can't do it, but if he doesn't, then it's going to be bad.
And I think your pushback is that for me to say, you know, you finish the race, it's a win for Biden, and you're saying that's not necessarily. And you're making a good point. Now, Trump also said he wants drug testing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's serious, but it's just weird. He's saying that, you know, Biden's always so slow, but then he gave an interview or did the State of the Union, and then he's all fiery. I want him drug tested, blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, dude, I'm pretty sure you're snorting Adderall, so that's going to pop on a drug test, but whatever.
Do you really think Trump's an Adderall user?
I don't know. We shouldn't say that, but... I don't know.
Frankly, I don't care if he is.
I feel like we may have confirmation through one of the many people he fired from his administration, especially early on. But I'm not sure about that. But I don't know. Either way, it's a weird request, and I don't want my politicians doing blow in the open where they get caught on camera. And just listen to how I said that.
I followed that, yes.
I hope that my politicians, if they are involved in something maybe less than wholesome, that they figure out ways to make sure they do it and not get caught. So that's my way of saying I really don't give a fuck if they're on drugs or not. Just listen, just don't get caught and don't be so high out of your mind you can't do your job. Right? I just don't have time to police what they do. Hopefully, not working hours, but realizing that maybe it's happening during working hours. Right?
Well, if you're going to do that shit, do it during working hours. Get the energy. I've never done coke. Right. I've never done Adderall.
You know, like, it's not, people, the focus is not what, it doesn't quite lock you in, let's just say, from
experiments, friends that told doctors, you about this. Yes.
Things, medical studies I've read. and the other thing about the debates, RFK seems to be left out right now, odd man out. I would like to see him up there. I don't want to listen to him particularly because his voice is awful. But that's better than being Ann Coulter and saying that you right. would vote for Vivek Ramaswamy because he's Indian. But no, I think RFK should be up there. I know he's only got like 10% of the vote, but I mean, I think he got double digits. He should be able to speak. It'd be interesting to see if they could get him into these debates and see if there was any sort of swinging of votes. I don't think that there would be, really. I think it's kind of too late. And everybody's locked in. But we'll see. I don't know.
Was it you that told me who his wife is the other day?
Yeah, yeah. It's Cheryl from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That is fucking wild to
me. Yes. Yes, crazy.
That he is married to, and apparently she's pretty politically active and very, very left wing. But when you told me that, I was like, oh my God.
What's funny to me is that I feel like, even though RFK Jr. and Larry David are very different, I feel like her role in RFK's life is very similar to what her role is in Larry David's life on Curb Your Enthusiasm, right? Just constantly dealing with the, what the fuck did he say? What are you doing? What you've been working out for 3 hours. What are you, right? Like, I just feel like she's just constantly trying to figure out what the fuck's going on with this guy.
The fact that I didn't know that was his wife.
Yeah.
And then
she's kind of hot, too.
She's very attractive.
Interesting face, I'll
and
say.
And she's also dated Ted Danson on Curb Your Enthusiasm, so there's that.
What does that have to do with anything?
She scored Sam Malone after Larry David, and I don't know why I felt the need to bring that up, okay. But I may have taken an edible earlier today. Jesus, so let's talk about Trump VP candidates.
Okay. Let's talk Trump VP candidates. So
worst segue ever, I'll acknowledge.
No, you've had some pretty bad ones. So,
so have you, by the way.
Yeah, no, I've got more really good ones than I do really bad ones. And you know,
Trump VP candidates.
So Kristi Noem is probably at the top of the list, but she had a rough go at it when, you know, she's doing her promotion of her book. And then in the book, she talks about how she kills this, you know, 14-month-old puppy, basically, because it wasn't good at herding cattle. And pretty much,
pointing dogs, not herding cattle.
Yeah, but it wasn't good at it. So she killed it, and she killed it. Like, I got the gun, and I went out, and boom, I shot it. Yay, dude, this is what we do. This is country living. Except unless you are a sketchy Korean restaurant in The Simpsons.
I don't know where you're going, but I'm concerned.
And Simpsons? The Simpsons, they make fun of the Chinese food places that eat dogs.
All right.
Unless you're them, right? Like, you think this is terrible, right? Like, no one really sits there and says, oh, let me kill a 1-year-old puppy because it's not good at its job. You find another job for it. You rehome it to another farm. You whatever. You put it in the house or you don't. Whatever. You just let it run around the farm. It's a dog. You got a farm. You don't fucking shoot the thing, right? Which is literally what everyone almost across the world said. She tried to double down. It didn't quite work. And then she ends up not having to deal with it because then people go to the fact that she talks about how she met Kim Jong-un. And then when he met her, or when she met him, he was not aware that she stares down, you know, little tyrants all the time because she was a kindergarten teacher or some shit like that, right? And then it comes out that she actually never met Kim Jong-un.
Okay, you're telling me things I didn't know.
Okay.
She claimed to have met Kim Jong-un.
In her book. She wrote it in her book.
I mean, I knew the dog thing was in the book. And I do want to touch on that because left-wing or right-wing, people love pets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Other than, unless you're some sketchy, you know, weird Asian restaurant that they make fun of in The Simpsons, right, that kills dogs, then you think this story is terrible.
And that jumps over the political line, right? The right-wingers hate people who are mean to dogs.
Right. All you know, kids hate when old Yeller got killed, right? Everyone on Earth, apparently, except for fucking Christy Gnome, had the same reaction when old Yeller got killed, right?
Right.
So, fucking...
Old Yeller, jeez.
Christy Gnome, apparently, like, she got off to that. And she's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, now it's my turn.
And as someone who used to hunt over bird dogs, we talked about this last week... I've known people who owned bird dogs, and they are rambunctious, just out of nature. I mean, their job is to run.
Or maybe you're not good at training them, right?
Steve, if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But a really good friend of mine had a Brittany Spaniel, and he and I went hunting, and we shot a bunch of birds, and... the dog got defensive of the birds we shot in front of his kids. Like, literally, one of the kids reached at the bird and he nipped her, and neither of us saw it. And then the second kid went to pick up a bird and literally got bit. And he grabbed his dog by the collar and stuck her in a, you know, kettle. And, you know, the dog's name was Jamaica. So Jamaica is in this kettle making a ton of noise. She's furious and whatever. But he was like, you bit my kid. So kettle, that's what you get. And you know what? He didn't shoot her in the fucking face.
Okay. Wasn't sure where we were going, but that's a good point, right? Way to bring it back around. So I mean, like, all right, Christy, you know, can't shoot dogs in the face, and if you do, probably not a good idea to talk about it and brag about it,
or put it in writing where it's
right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because that's when I first heard about this, I was like, okay, is someone just saying this? And I'm like,
nope.
No, she,
her words,
in her a book,
right? She can't even blame it on somebody else, right? Like, she can't say, like, she gave them the material. It's not like an editor would say, oh, you know what? We're going to add this little story that is not true, right? Which is not what happened. She can't even claim it. But then she also has this tidbit in there, which, you know, where she talks about meeting Kim Jong-un, and she had never met, like, they, and it was easy to fact check, you know, because as governor or whatever, if you're in a foreign country meeting foreign leaders, there's a record of it.
Right.
Right. Like, there's no, and, you know, she also said that she was there with maybe other governors or something along those lines. So, you know, it was easy to go back and say, all right, well, we looked at every trip you've taken, and I don't know if it went as far to say she had never even been to North Korea, but she definitely never met with Kim Jong-un. So, so then what she said was like, oh, well, I've gone back with my, I don't know how that got in there, but I talked to my editor and we're going to have it removed. And then she immediately jumps into the, you know, no one's holding Joe Biden accountable for the lies he's told, right? Like, but okay. So she is Donald Trump's, like, main VP candidate that I think is kind of in the lead, but she had a rough week with the whole book thing, and that definitely knocked her down some points. But this week she was down at the border trying to get some photo ops down there to get, you know, back in the MAGA camp's good graces. So I think she's still at the top, but that whole dog killing.
Yeah, I think the dog killing thing will be a deal breaker.
I don't think it'll be a deal breaker because, like, it's already faded, right? Like, I mean, me and you are talking about, like, if you think about it, but it's already faded. By the time he picks, which I'm assuming that he's probably not going to pick his candidate until the Republican convention, which is in July.
Which is, that's fair, right?
I mean, that's fine, but he's... By that time, I think that will have blown over, and then it won't matter, right? There's a chance people could hold on to it. I think people want to really be outraged about stuff, but our outrage about things only lasts so long. You know, it can be kind of refired up, but it always burns a little less each time.
The only counterpoint I'll make to that is outrage about killing animals tends to last.
It doesn't. It fades. Like it may not fade as fast, but I think that this. I don't know. I don't think this will.
And so then, what do you think about the other potential
candidates? Well, you got. So I mean, you got Tim Scott. Like he's chocolate milk toast, I guess. I don't think that they would. I don't. I think they like using his name so they can go, hey, we're not racist. We got a black guy. But I don't think he's got a real shot. I do believe that J.D. Vance, who is a senator here in Ohio, has a chance. And because he, like, J.D. Vance is, I can't stand him. He's said things and done things that I got a lot of issues with him. I probably should be a little bit more careful. All things considered with, you know, our company and some of the stuff that we do and how we get money, which sometimes has to come from people like J.D. Vance, but I got to be transparent, man. And so hopefully it doesn't come to that where, you know, we get rejected money because I'm bagging on him. So, but that's just the truth of the matter. I don't think the guy has our best interest in mind. He mimics a lot of what Trump is, and he mimics a lot of what Trump does, and he kisses Trump's ass to the point where we know that Trump loves to be praised and worshipped, and that could be the thing for J.D. Vance, but there is Vivek Ramaswamy, who has proven that he will absolutely kneel, roll over, and play catch to be embraced by Donald Trump and MAGA. So I think that that's kind of who is... Like, I think those four people, Kristi Noem, Tim Scott, J.D. Vance, Vivek, are, like, the main people he's looking at. I don't think he's looking at Carrie Lake. I think he looks at her as a loser. I don't think that DeSantis...
No chance DeSantis.
Right, like, that was too ugly between them, and I don't think...
Nikki Haley is...
Right, and Trump has pretty much said, I think he put a statement out on Truth Social that there was no chance for Nikki Haley, but he hasn't done that with anybody else. So, you know, I think that all these other people, for the most part, are in play. And even Vivek Ramaswamy, I don't think that Vivek is really in play, but I think that he kisses Trump's ass so aggressively, right, and he goes independently on... You know, every outlet that he can get, whether it's a podcast or a YouTube channel, his, whatever, you know, the whole thing with Ann Coulter, right? Like, he goes on Ann Coulter's show, and she, like, hey, I wouldn't vote for you because you're Indian, but your ideas are good, so if you want to dance, go ahead and dance. And he could have pushed back and said, fuck you, I'm not doing this with you. You know, like, you're going to literally just be a racist asshole to my face. But no, instead, he's like, all right, well, let's just find some common ground here, you know? And so I think, again, like, Trump looks at that, and I think that Trump sees Vivek as weak. and pandering. I don't think he'll choose him as a VP candidate, but maybe he throws him a bone in his administration down the line, right?
And Tim Scott did the most awful, tortured, hoop jumping I've seen in a long time when he was asked, will you acknowledge the 2024 election? And he was like, I expect Trump to get elected. And the response was, okay, but will you acknowledge the validity of the election? I think it'll be Trump. I'm like, oh my God. It was so awful to watch.
But I mean, here's the deal. The reason why they're not going to commit to it is because if he loses, they already know the game plan. Right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not arguing
so with you. People are like, oh, they wouldn't do that again. Why not? Right? There's no benefit of them backing down at this point. So if you lose, you just say the election was rigged. Right? If you win, then you still say the election was rigged. You didn't win by enough. Right?
Sure.
The only reason it was close is because it was rigged.
What you said is very valid, because in 2016, when he lost the popular vote, it was, I'm the elected president, I won by a landslide. Well, you didn't win the popular vote. Oh, well, that was fixed. I'm like, that doesn't even fucking matter. And that is one of my biggest complaints with the coverage of politics, is these national polls. They're like, nationally, Trump is winning. Okay. It doesn't matter what the national polls are. What matters is states. And I am very concerned about states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, because Biden is doing a lot of shit that is not resonating. I mean, the Israel-Palestine issue is huge, and I'm thinking specifically of Michigan because he needs voter turnout. And if voters are like, you know what, I'm not going to vote for Trump, but I ain't voting for that fucking guy. You know, it's...
Well, you know, like I said, I would like to see RFK and Nikki Haley jump on a ticket together and just see what sort of damage that they could cause. Because that, I think if they ran as independents, that they would
stir the pot.
Yeah, you know, and I think that they could both peel votes away from both Biden and Trump, right? And then the question is, how much could they peel away, right?
And from who?
And then can you peel away enough to send the Electoral College in the flux? Right, because that's really what you got to do, right? Like you have to put the Electoral College in flux, pull up some of these really old timey rules that no one pays attention to, when you have to deal with like a 3-way tie, and then you know see what happens.
You know, and I'm gonna push back. It's not a 3-way tie. It just needs to be a not enough electoral votes to nominate a president. Sure. So. Even if they got 30, mm-hmm. electoral votes, or whatever, I don't even know what the number, 270 is a number that wins it.
Yes.
And if you take enough away, and if you remember fucking...
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Right?
Why not? If you remember like 8 years ago, 2016, when I was on the fence with Gary Johnson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if he can win New Mexico... where he was formerly the governor, and another state, he could throw the whole thing into, chaos is not the word I want to use, but I can't come up with a better one right now. You know, that was my protest.
It was that I didn't want that. Like, that's not what we needed at the time, and what we needed was a stable hand, which should have been fucking Hillary, but her...
It hurts to say that, doesn't it?
No, why does it hurt?
Because she's not a person I like.
Okay, but it ain't about what you like. It's what we needed. She was what we needed at the time. And her fucking arrogance cost her, right? And then you have this, the ineptness of the system that Trump really exposed, right? That screws her over. And then we get everything where we're at right now.
Yeah, right? And
so I'm not going to say, no, I will say that I saw it coming, which is why I was like, we can't fuck around with this, right?
I remember you yelling at me.
Yeah, like, but this is a different sort of scenario. You've got a number of issues with Biden. I mean, his age is kind of the big one, right? Because you can't turn back the clock. He's not getting younger, and he's not getting faster, right? True. Even if he's not rapidly declining, he's still declining. And 4 years on a president is like dog years, right? And so,
100%.
You know, I mean, for year five and six, right? If he goes, right, like that's going to be the. I think by year six, right, or the second year of his second term, I think everybody across the country, Democrat, Republican, far left, far right, is like, is this guy going to make it?
You know, all right, first of all, I agree with what you're saying. I will also say that Trump is not far behind that.
But Trump, and as much as people want to say that he's senile and crazy, he just doesn't give me the same vibes of mental decline as Joe Biden. He gives me crazy vibes. Like, dude's not all there. Something's wrong with him, right? Should not be president of the United States, but it's not because his brain is declining. Dude's just fucking crazy. Well, right? And I think a lot of his craziness is from ignorance, right? Like, just full out, he doesn't...
yeah, you're
like, ignorance and arrogance combined are really, really... they give you
context,
right?
Cocktail, yeah.
And you get Trump, right? He doesn't know history. He pretends to know about it, and then he uses it out of context with the wrong references about himself, right? Like, so yes, when you don't know what the fuck you're talking about and then trying to make comparisons to show how great you are, yes, you're going to seem, and you are, basically a fucking sociopath. But at the same time, Biden is generally declining to a point where I'm not sure. Like, we put that guy in office, and I don't know if he can do his fucking job at a certain point.
The pushback I'll give there is he doesn't feel the need to get credit for everything. I think he's done a pretty good job of managing the office, for lack of a better way of saying it.
Fine. I still think the guy might kill over in 2 years, though.
Oh, I mean,
so that's an issue to deal with, right? That's going to be what Trump's team, that's what they're already harping on, right? And what I'm saying is, you don't have a good argument against it. And
no,
I don't give a fuck how he manages the office if he's dead in office, you know?
And so is there any chance that Biden's vice president is not Kamala Harris?
No chance.
Okay.
They say she's gotten better at her job, and she's gotten better at public speaking and all that other stuff. Why would we want to get rid of her? We love Kamala Harris. Okay.
And I honestly have not heard
of her. That pains me to say, because I loved her too, and then realized that she ain't got the chops.
I was going to go someplace else with this, and I'm drawing a blank, and I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I think... So, where I'm at is, I don't like either candidate that we have now. And I don't think...
I don't think anyone does.
And I think that Haley and RFK are not the perfect replacement. But I'm sorry. Like, look, all three options would essentially suck. Right? They all taste bad. They all... Like, right? Like, I mean, because there are black people who are going to give me shit. And it's just like, look, if the only reason you're hanging on to Biden and Kamala Harris... is because Kamala Harris is a black woman that went to a black school. Okay, I guess. She's also married to a white guy, so what are you guys doing, right? So, I don't care about that, but, like, that's false allegiance, loyalty, whatever that is. You're propping that up. That's bullshit, right? You're doing that not because you truly are supporting your sister. That's just the party line. You're just saying that. You're just doing that. It's bullshit. You're not sincere. Right, so I just think that, like, give me Haley and RFK. I don't love either one of them. I've already talked about why I don't like RFK and his scratchy voice. Right, some of his stuff on vaccines is ridiculous, but he does have some good socioeconomic things that I could actually support and get behind that I haven't actually heard other candidates talk about. It should be the sort of stuff that the Democrats are talking about, and he's doing a better job of it than them, right? So maybe that cancels out his whole vaccine thing, right? And then Nikki Haley, there are certain things I kind of like about her, but there's plenty that I can't stand, right? Like, she is an ultra-conservative. Like, the good thing is I know my gun rights will be good with her and RFK. Well, maybe not with RFK. No, maybe not with RFK. Right,
He has a reason.
Well, yeah, I'm not gonna. We won't get into that. I see, but when it comes to Nikki Haley, I know gun rights are good, but you know her stance on abortion and everything else. I don't know if she could be brought to the table on the abortion issue. You know, some of her other policy issues that are kind of Trumpish or whatever, I don't support. But again, I'd rather deal with her and RFK because I think that they're both sane enough to where they understand that in order for this country to work, you need compromise. And they try to, as best they can, put a stop to the populist shit that you see from the MAGA movement, right? And I don't think you'll ever really be able to shut up the far left progressives because they just can't be made happy. But you can at least have enough to be able to sort of filter them out where you don't have to deal with them as much. You know what I mean?
The thing I blanked out on a few minutes ago was I was driving through your neighborhood and there was a Trump revenge tour flag. Trump 2024.
There's plenty of Trump people in my neighborhood. Why are you saying it like...
Well, I'm not making it your fault. I'm just saying that the 2024 revenge tour says where their mentality is.
It's also weird. There's more like Black Lives Matter signs and stuff like that are still in people's yards in my neighborhood than I would expect, which is bizarre to me as well.
Well, good.
Because I mean, it's a mostly white neighborhood, right? Like, it is not diverse.
I'm aware.
There's a few Middle Eastern families, there's a few other black families, but it's not a diverse neighborhood. But I was surprised at the number of those signs that I saw, and I will also say, and I think you remember this, you know, when a lot of the George Floyd stuff was going on, like the little town that I live in, there were some very supportive, like, out-and-out supporter protests in favor of, you know, police reform and George Floyd. And my mayor reached out to me, and we talked at length a little bit about some of the different things that they could do. So it was interesting. Anyway, we got a little bit off track. So all that to say, I think as it relates to Trump's VP candidates and third party candidates, I would love to see Nikki Haley and RFK on a merged ticket. See where that goes.
And I would love to see that. Excuse me, I got the fucking hiccups. I'd love to see them on a debate stage where they could actually push back.
You're only going to get one or the other, right? Like, it's whoever the presidential candidate is. So, you know, who kind of. That's the other thing. I don't know if either RFK or Nikki Haley could, you know, put their ego aside enough to be in a situation where one is the VP. You'd almost have to make RFK the VP candidate in that sort of situation. Making the woman sit second fiddle again, I just don't think that would play well, which they would have to take that into account. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. One of the last things I want to get to, you've got a couple, but we'll see where we are on time. Alito and this upside down flag. So long story short, one of the, I guess, I don't know, signs, signals, what symbols from the January 6th riots was, you know, the upside down American flag being raised in place of the American flag being flown, you know, right side up. And, you know, people in protest of January or people in support of January 6th, in support of President Trump and everything were flipping their flags upside down, and, you know, raising them up to flagpoles as a symbol of support for, again, what happened on January 6th and Donald Trump and everything else. So Judge Alito, shortly after January 6th, now ended up with an upside-down flag flying above his house. And people are like, what's that about? He says that his wife got into an argument with a neighbor. She was upset. So in protest, she flipped the flag upside down and raised it. That is a pretty terrible lie. That it feels like a pretty terrible lie.
Agreed.
But, you know, I don't know. But it's important because Alito has been on, you know, some of these January 6th cases.
He's on the Supreme Court.
Yes, he's on the Supreme Court, but he's, you know, he's having to hear January 6th cases and Donald Trump cases and everything else. And so it feels like he's full of shit on why the flag was upside down. It feels like basically he's been corrupted by MAGA, maybe even Donald Trump himself. And he's not doing a good job of covering it up. And again, like you said, he is a sitting member of the Supreme Court of
and
the United States.
You're a lawyer. Yep. You've been very outspoken about Supreme Court decisions over the, you know, 10 years we've known, 15 years we've known each other. Sorry for the hiccups. It's so annoying. And that's one of the most influential seats in the country. And he's doing that shit? Come on.
Well, I mean, it gives anyone who's like looking at this like a normal, sane human being is looking at it like, man, this dude is in their pocket, or he's been corrupted, or he's a true believer, which you have to think at that point then, you know, clouds how he makes rulings and decisions. There's no real way around it. But I also think, I don't know where this is going in the media, and it feels like this dies. Kind of like people kind of forgot about the whole thing with Clarence Thomas, right? Like some people are still screaming and yelling about it on social media, but for the most part, most people are forgetting the money that was paid and the trips and the yachts and the planes and everything else.
What was the guy's name?
It was Harlan Crow.
There we go.
It was real plantation slavish.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Harlan Crow. White suit, white hat. Feels like that's what he wears everywhere. With a cane and a white beard and glasses. He's Colonel Sanders. So you've got that. The last thing, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jasmine Crockett, AOC, get into a... I'll call it a spat, but look, at this point, Congress it's a joke, right?
It's high school.
Right? I mean, come on, man. Marjorie Taylor Greene says that, Marjorie Taylor Greene says something. Jasmine Crockett, she's a Democrat out of Texas, made a statement about what they were there for. And what they were there for was actually to hold Merrick Garland in contempt over not delivering the audio tapes of interview with Biden Biden's testimony or something along those lines, right? So Marjorie Taylor Greene makes a request for something that doesn't make any sense, that, you know, wants to know about who somebody hired that had something to do. It had nothing to do with why they were actually there. Jasmine Crockett says, not sure if you know why you're here, because that request doesn't make any sense. Marjorie Taylor Greene says to Jasmine Crockett, oh, well, your fake eyelashes are getting in your way and maybe you can't read what's happening. Right? So then, you know, everybody, AOC and Jamie Raskin, they all get all like, whoa, 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 you know, strike that from the record, all this other shit. And it just, the whole thing ends up devolving into a big screaming match. I think it went on for like 4 hours of people just basically talking shit on you know, the congressional floor. And the most fucked up part about it is I want to call us out for, you know, oh, we're supposed to be a civil country, blah, 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 and we should be above this, and the rest of the world is laughing at us. But then I saw today that in Taiwan, a legislator just took a bill, literally the physical paper bill, ripped it off the table, and ran out of the room. It was like, if I physically take it, you can't vote on it. I'm out. And he took it, and he ran, pages flying. It was like something out of a fucking cartoon. I was like, what? So, all that to say is like, look, we could have that going on, right? We could have people just running and taking bills. Now, we did have a congressman pull a fire alarm to stop a vote. We've also had Lauren Boebert, like, running, putting heels on, looking like she's getting out of a backseat of a car during prom. And, you know, she's missing votes and everything else. So, I don't know. I mean, the clown show continues. But all that being said, we got to shut it down. Jim has a terrible case of the hiccups, and he's having trouble to get rid of them.
I do have a terrible case of the hiccups.
So, we'll just shut the show down so you can deal with that.
At Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. I'm sorry for the hiccups.
See you later.